Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedies in the Law. My name is Martin Michelson. I'll be your host for this evening, this conference call brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you're on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone looking for legal advice has no place or business here on any of these calls. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, our advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. Just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. People's opinions, really. However, thoughtful and experienced and educated as these opinions might be, at the end of the day, they are just that, people's opinions. And it is always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. If we look up in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you have a separate page come up with just two items on it, otherwise blank page. Now, these two items are of much importance, especially if this is all new to you. First on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules, needs to have at least a basic concept of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you might find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process. Of course, mostly known for its national 85% win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly purchased for. But that's not really why we have it up here. The reason that it's up here is once you've gone through the jurisdictionary course a couple times and then you get into the common law default, you'll see very quickly that it acts as a real-life homework assignment. Most of the key points that you learned about in the jurisdictionary, you're now acting out in real life in the common law default process. And, of course, with it being so popular for traffic scenarios, folks find it much easier for their first time, for their first interaction. Both of these items are very affordably priced, asking just a small contribution of $250 for the jurisdictionary and $150 for the common law default. All right, we back out of that, back to the home page. We see there the login and register. We also encourage everybody to set themselves up with an online account at yourremediesinthelaw.com. Also, very affordably priced, asking just a small contribution of $10 a month for a full membership gives you full access to the site, all of the features there. Specifically as well, of course, all of the phone numbers and pins for the calls. And, of course, there's years of archives as well. Every call is recorded. Of course, this is not an option for you just yet. You have freedomsradio.com, where every call is broadcasted out free of charge. So, of course, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish with Freedoms Radio. All right, on to the next subject. Most of you have probably noticed by now that map of the United States that you see on virtually every website that we have. This is Grassfire Communications, formerly known as Statewide Communications, a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on a very strict pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially how it works is this. You've got a very easy setup wizard. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in, click next, that sort of thing. And it's going to give you a long list of topics to choose from. These topics range everything from status change to IRS matters, home foreclosure, veterans' rights, health rights, on and on. You can think of it. You'll find it in that list. And then, of course, it's going to ask you for what type of radius are you looking for, how far out or close to home are you looking. It could be citywide, countywide, statewide, anything in between. And it puts all together there much how a lot of folks probably describe as a social media, though nothing like a social media, very custom, very private, but how a lot of folks would describe that. The idea is that, for example, maybe you sit down one day and you say, well, this happened to me today. First people come back and say, well, I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. I don't like that. And, however thoughtful that might be, how much that's going to help you in your education or teaching you to educate yourself on a particular matter. But maybe the next person comes in and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do if I were similarly situated. I'd go down to my local county courthouse there and go to the law library and look up these terms. By the way, if you didn't know, every county has a courthouse, every courthouse has a law library, free to the taxpayer. You see there, you're starting to learn something there. Maybe the next person says, well, that's a great idea also. Check out this particular website. I purchased this particular educational, material. So you see where I'm going with this. The idea here with Grassfire Communications is to put the power of communication, the power of education back in the hands of the common man. And that's what we're trying to do here. All right. Also, most of you have probably noticed by now, every time you go to the homepage of your Remy, you're met with that little blue box that pops up asking if you want to continue on and stop for a moment and check out Americans Restoring America. The reason we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. Too often we hear, I wish I'd known about this or wish I'd heard about that before. Of course, there's a lot of folks, there's a lot of material there, but a lot of folks have not knowledge yet or about found out about yet. The team at Your Remedy is in the long has grown quite a bit over the years. A lot of different team members discussing a lot of different subjects. And then all of that is available at Your Remedy is in the Law is just, Your Remedy is in the Law is just one of dozen and a half websites that make up Americans Restoring America. And so chances are there's probably a lot there that you haven't discovered yet. And so that's why we have that up there to encourage folks to explore. Of course, as always, if you have a question on whether we have a team member or information provider that could assist you with your particular scenario, I encourage you to get in contact with us. Let's see. Phone number, 1-800, number 1-800-625-4250. Or you can always email me directly, nm@yourremediesinthelaw.com. And somebody will be back with you very shortly. All right. This next portion we call your caveat emptor or your buyer beware. When you come aboard with an information provider here at Your Remedies of the Law, you're doing just that. You're coming aboard directly with that information provider. Of course, these information providers pay for advertising at Your Remedy. This would be a cost expense to that information provider along with any other costs associated with your particular educational process or that brings us to a more specific point. What is the refund policy or credit policy at Your Remedies in the Law? There is none. If that was a conversation that would need to be had, that would be a strict and private matter between you and your information provider. Even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You're expected to have done your due diligence, as always, before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, I want to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these calls are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it. All right, well, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the call over this time to Mr. Edwards, and he will introduce our speaker for this evening.
Well, thank you, Martin. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have GW joining us very shortly. I have to confess, I got distracted. I was going to pull up some quotes from Quora, and I started reading the Dred Scott decision. I would encourage everyone on the call to read the Dred Scott decision. And the reason for it is simply that it is the Dred Scott decision that the concept and understanding of the fact that we the people are the sovereign is clearly established in that decision. Now, it's not no surprise to me, but the fact that attorneys, judges, all say that this is a horrible decision, yet it being so horrible, why hasn't it been overturned? And it hasn't been overturned because we the people are the sovereignty, so they can't overturn it. And they can just sit there and complain, you know, we used to say in the old days, bitch and moan about it. That's all they can do. So I encourage you to look up the Dred Scott decision. Find where you can read it out to you. I'm looking at blackpast.org, African American History, Dred Scott decision right now. That's where I'm reading this from. And it's most awesome. So that having been said, let me go back to Quora real quick and go over here, pull up the last few questions that I've had the last couple of days since we, the last 7 days since we've done, since we've talked about this. Give me a moment here. There it goes. So, why do approximately 61% of Canadians state that they would be amenable to merging with America? 61%, that's a pretty chunky size of people. And I wrote, I haven't finished this answer, I was just answering it now when I started going to Dred Scott for research. But I wrote, even though Canadians say they are a free people in law, the truth of the matter is they are not a free people. Canadians are still subjects. There is no document I'm aware with wherein the monarchy stated they are peer to the monarchy. There was no bloody revolution they marshaled through to break from the crown. Only the Americans may make that claim, and I'm not finished with that, so that's where I'm getting started. Someone else writes in, can I change my citizenship? I wrote, a thing about citizenship, and I repeat it because one has a capital C and uppercase C and the rest lowercase, and the other is just all lowercase C. The thing about citizenship most people do not understand with regards to the United States is there are two classes of citizenship. There are those persons who are domiciled and designated to the territory over which the sovereignty of the United States extends. These persons are United States citizens and are classified as property and franchises of the federal government as an individual entity. Reference the 14th Amendment with a democratic form of government. And there are those domiciled in one of the collective names of the states which are united by and under the Constitution. These people are, quoting an older IRS W-8 Bend form, Union State citizens, or the term American nationalist, found in 8 U.S.C. Section 1502, with a guaranteed Republican form of government. So if your questions pertain, to United States citizenship, please read oncewewerecolonists.com. Therein you'll be amazed. Next question. What do you think will be the long-term effects of Governor Youngkin's support for the so-called parents' rights movement? Sadly, considering the following court case, Wadley versus Newhall, Circuit Court, North District of California, March 13, 1905, quote, civil rights under the 14th Amendment are for federal citizens and not state citizens. Federal citizens, as parents, have no right to the custody of their infant children except subject to the paramount right of the state, end quote. So depending on your political citizenship status, federal citizens do not have the final say over their children's rearing. If this sounds a bit queer, consider reading oncewewerecolonists.com. Just 23 pages of court cases that will take you from thinking me some nut job to your OMG moment. Until then, be well. Martin, let me know when GW joins us, please. The next one is, I'm sorry?
Will do.
Okay, thank you. When we talk about the United States and American culture, much is said about European, Asian, and African influences on the United States culture, but little about indigenous culture. Are there indigenous influences in United States culture? My reply was, well, Thanksgiving comes to mind. Will everything be owned by the government in the future? My reply was, not if we can keep our constitutional republic. Next question, what are some good books about the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights for someone who has never read them before? And I said, I would start with oncewewerecolonists.com. Next is, do you agree with human rights lawyer Greg Barnes that polling shows nearly 90% of Australians believe that charges against Julian Assange should be dropped? Yes, and I'd like to see Julius Assange give evidence to a grand jury as well. How can law enforcement agencies ensure that their officers uphold the law and set a good example for the community? My answer is when they face the tremendous loss of revenue from the people who have collected on the federal lawsuits of deprivation of rights under color of law. Confused? Don't understand? Read Once We Were Colonists.com. Next is, what are the problems with totalitarianism? Can people voluntarily give up their rights if they feel it will make them safer or more comfortable? Well, this is good. Unbeknownst to everyone, save a few exceptions, the American people give up their constitutional rights daily. These constitutional rights are exchanged for civil rights, which are truly mere privileges. What is the legal definition of the word license? In the law of contracts, a permission accorded by a competent authority conferring the right to do some act which without such authorization would be illegal or would be a trespass or a tort. State versus Hip, 38 Ohio. Youngblood versus Sexton, 32 Michigan, 406. Hubman versus State, 61 Arkansas, 432. Chicago versus Collins, and I just listed several others. Also, the written evidence of such permission in real property, an authority to do a particular act or a series of acts upon another's land without possessing any estate therein. Also, the written evidence of authority so accorded, it is distinguished from an easement, which implies an interest in the land to be affected, and a lease or a right to take the prolix of land. It may be, however, and often is, coupled with a grant of some interest in the land itself, or rights to take a profit. In a pleading, a plea of jurisdiction to an action of trespass that the defendant was authorized by the owner of the freehold to commit the trespass complained of. In the law of patents, anyways, I'll just go on and on and on. Point being, suppose you have read the above and researched. So then research, when did the marriage license come into being and why? If my question provokes you, why not read OnceWeWereColonists.com and learn what really happened to your constitutional rights.
Yeah, Mr. Edward, GW.
Sir? Oh, all right. GW, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty well.
Good. I'm just going through some Quora questions and answers, always hammering on the fact of jurisdiction. How was your week?
It's been lively.
Good.
It's been lively.
So let me turn the call over to you and Martin Michelson, and we'll go from there.
All righty. Very good. Let's see here. I was going to go over to gonna look at something here that I had with one of my people. I just wanted to bring up something here. I had one of my guys that got their status corrected, and then he went and tried to, you know, he's buying a gun, using my passport card, anything I need to know for the background check. I was turned down for a handgun. My state requirement was that I select being a United States citizen or automatic no. Okay, is what he wrote back and was asking a question. So, you know, I wanted to tell the people on the call here, you know, this call, of course, is about, you know, correcting your status with the U.S. State Department and the dynamics behind that we help people do. And I'm sure a lot of the people that are on this call also heard, you know, John the other night, Brother John, talking about how, you know, the status correction is a big deal when he's working with people and doing their cases and whatnot. And, you know, said a lot of nice things about that. I want to say something, though, that once you get your status corrected, it's not the silver bullet. It's not like once you correct your status, all of a sudden they just roll the red carpet out for you. We're in a battle, and this battle is for the you know, those that are more like the remnant, okay, that really want to be in that be in the fight, so to speak. If you were gonna go and after you got your status corrected, it's almost like a lot of times I know we've talked about this on the call a few times, where people have actually asked the question, and a bunch of my clients have, and I've had a number of them successfully do this, where they want to get their driver's license. We need a driver's license, and they're like, yeah, should I do it, you know, and if I do it, is there any way we can, you know, do it without, you know, I mean, do it with my new corrected status, and so we were working that out. One of the first gals there was actually in Florida, down there, sort of kind of close to Michael Edwards there, and she actually asked them the right question. So, and in asking the right questions, when you're filling out the form, you have to be a little bit proactive with the process. So I was using that process of asking the questions with whoever it is, the DMV, whoever it is in your area, your county, it takes and uploads all the information so that you can get a brand new or renew your driver's license. The question is, you know, can we get our status, you know, put in there? So I've had people successfully actually do that with asking the right questions, because when they give you the paperwork to fill out and you're there checking off the boxes, and if the only thing that's available to you is are you a U.S. citizen, and it gives you no place on that form to fill out a box that says you're national, or even this, a national of the United States, okay, or an American national, okay, then my response and what happened with my clients is that they handed the form back and said, listen, I don't want to perjure myself because I have corrected my status to being that of a national or an American national, and I see no place here to check other than a U.S. citizen. And because I've corrected my status from being a U.S. citizen to being a national, I don't want to perjure myself on this form. And here's, by the way, here's my affidavit of citizenship. Of citizenship status. And this is the same form that the State Department has, and it's never been rebutted. It stands as truth. And this is who I am. I would request, and you just need to ask them, what's the remedy here? And then give it back to them and let them try to figure it out. And then a number of the cases have actually been able to upload the affidavit with the information so that it would be pulled up actually with the driver's license. Now, I don't know if all the different counties, agencies have the exact same, you know, system for doing that. I don't know that for sure. But I know we've had a number of them be successful with doing that. Now, with this gentleman that was trying to buy the handgun, of course, checked that he's not a U.S. citizen, and it was instantly turned down. So part of this whole process and what I informed him of is that instead of going to one of these big box stores or one of these large corporations that's doing this, and you're just dealing with a kind of a low-level employee, I would be very strategic in the way that I would go about the process of trying to acquire a handgun or or rifle, whatever. I would be trying to go to a proprietor, okay, that is the owner of that little maybe boutique weapons, place that you know has the guns and the you know everything for sale, and somebody that you have a you know you can get a little bit of a relationship with and ask them the pertinent questions, you know, like, hey, how would I sign this form and show your corrected status by showing them one of the three that we always have our students make up a minimum of three affidavits, if not five. I often will tell people make up about five because there's a couple extra times you can use this. And when you're getting your passport and passport card, and of course you have to turn that in to them, and they take that. And you want to have an extra one handy so that you can show somebody. And so it's a little bit of a you know educational process on that same subject for them. So I'd be picking a place that has somebody that is going to be a little more amenable and might ask the right questions, might have, you know, somebody that has the ability to call, you know, whoever it is who they're dealing with and ask them the right questions so that they can have you fill out or supply them with the correct paperwork so that then when they submit that, you can prevail in getting approved and, you know, go about obtaining a firearm. And so with that said, I mean, that's just one of the things that kind of popped up this week, you know, that I was running into. Another thing that I wanted to tell you about is, and if there's a lot of interest in this, we can maybe even convene a call and I can have this gentleman on the line with me on one of the calls on a Monday night if people so desire and there's some real interest in it from enough people, is that one of my guys that I actually met him in 2020 at one of the big conferences, the Reawaken conference with Clay Clark and you know Flynn and General Flynn and all those guys, and we got to talking and he went about the process of getting his status corrected, and we just ended up being pretty close friends, and he got his little, you know, his understanding that he was probably going to be removed from the voter rolls, and so, but I told him, hey, listen, you know, that is not the end. Once you correct your status, and if you do get both removed from the voter rolls, one of the things about being in the status of a national is you have the ability to become an elector in your county, in your state. And so he was like, wow, okay, I want to check that out. I said, well, I can't help you with that because you're going to have to go and check it out yourself. So he pretty much figured out the whole process, and now he's gone through and taken the oath and been certified as an elector, okay, in the county here. So if that's something that, you know, now he's an elector, which is nice because as a property owner, his vote is looked at as four votes, okay, instead of somebody that doesn't own property that would be just looked at as one vote. And I believe that goes kind of way back into history as far as what our forefathers really wanted to ensure, you know, that the property owners have kind of like more skin in the game, and so, you know, they get more votes. And so if that is something that people want to, you know, have more information on or have a little more insight into, I could probably bring Gerald on one of the calls and he could talk about that if anybody's the position to want that to happen. So that's what I got to tell you for right now. And other than that, we can just, Martin, we can just open up the call to those who have questions and need some answers.
All right, folks. Now it's time for questions and answers. Press star 2 on your keypad if you have a question. Star 2 to raise your hand. If you're listening on the Freedoms Radio side, type your questions in the question bar at the time and click submit. And we'll give it a moment here to populate. How's your last week been, GW?
Yeah, the last week has been very lively. A lot of very interesting things going on in a number of different areas. That's just the correction of status. You got a bigger team that's working on a bunch of different cases for people. And it never seems to. One day maybe we'll be in a place where, you know, all the predators out there, and government predators, will be in being checkmate, but we're definitely not there yet. So there's always very interesting and new things that are popping up. So we're dealing with a number of different issues, IRS issues and grand jury issues and OSHA. Yeah, OSHA stuff. With you know, aggressive agents out there, and we've been putting the screws to them. So been pretty cool.
All right.
Always something to do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I don't see any questions pop up just yet here. Of course, when we're done with the questions and answers portion, we will bid GW a good evening here. So let's not hesitate. Let's go ahead and get those questions in now. All right, looks like we've got Michael, yes, in Nevada. Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on the property side, your property, what do they consider property? Because I read a case, a guy was talking about up in New York, New England, somewhere up north, and he'd gone to court with a friend of his, and they tried to take his friend's children from him, but one of them wasn't born in a hospital and had no registration for him. And he told them, you can't do that because that's his property. Your children are your property.
Yep.
So the other two, I think they took, but then after they pushed the issue on the one and they lost, they brought the other two back. So your property covers a lot of territory.
Yeah, it does.
But if they were talking about land or real estate property, then that would be a different thing. But did the county argue with him about him being an elector?
You talking about the gentleman, Gerald, that I was just talking about?
Yeah.
You didn't see, I didn't ask him that. I don't know. I don't think so. But he went through the all the channels and got somebody in to, you know, take the oath and become an elector. So he's now supposedly official as an elector. So I don't know. You know, he could probably talk to that more. But I don't know if he had, you know, any pushback at all.
Right. Well, everything they issue us comes on a paper, usually within four corners, with four squares or boxes, lines that are outlined in boxes. And according to the UCC code, anything that comes like that doesn't exist. It's a fiction, corporate product.
Yeah.
And they've gotten people to believe that what they say is law, and that's 9/10 of their winning game is to complete, you know, to convince people that what they say is the law, but it's not the law at all. It's stuff they make up. And they've had a long time to work at making it up. People look around and you look at the Mormon Church, all those that are the bishops at the temple in Salt Lake City, they're all lawyers. Look at the Catholic Church and all the ones behind the Pope, who's always dressed in white. I don't know why, because he's got a lot of stains on it. Anyway, they're dressed in black, and all those are lawyers. Everywhere you look, there are just lines of lawyers. And it's sad that we let these people take over like this.
Yeah.
But,
I call them sheep dick, you know?
And yeah.
They want, you know, they want people like that have been through the university, the Rockefeller University training, okay, the highest programmable people they can. And then for the rest, okay, the rest of the population, they want to put out a bunch of pleas that they have requirements that the police officers, when they go through all their training and everything, they have to take all these IQ tests. That they don't have an IQ of over 110, and that I don't know if people on the call have been apprised of that information, but that came out around the year 2000, and it was through discovery because of candidates being turned down, and then when they would sue, and through discovery they found out, sure enough, this guy had too high of an IQ. And the reason for that was, well, you know, people with a high IQ have a tendency to think for themselves, and they didn't want them thinking for themselves. They actually said this in court. And so there's been some people that have won their cases that are, you know, that vibrate at a higher level, you know, that are now cops, but there's probably the majority of them don't ever even, you know, question it, which is, you know, sad too, but it's just part of being the program masses. It's really, really sad. You know, yeah, we've ostensibly, you know, Michael, let all this stuff happen on our watch. My mom and dad's watch, and my grandpa's watch, and everything else. So hopefully we can get a hold of this situation and start changing things.
Well, the Rockefellers set up a pretty good system because they had they copied the Germans over there with the indoctrination and with playing music in a certain octave. It lulls people's sense down, and they can't discern what the real meaning is.
Yeah.
And they ordered that all and the Rockefellers ordered that all symphonies and orchestras play their music at like a 42 or 45, whatever it was, and they didn't want them to play anything else.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. That was brought in by Dumbles, or whatever his name was. He was one of the Nazi people. Yeah. Yeah, America was one of them that succumbed to that stupidity. Sad. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's one day here I'll work on that. Right now I'm laying up because I got a bad sciatic. I did four days of steady work out here cleaning up after the hurricane, and I woke up one morning and it was sore, and by that afternoon I had a hard time walking out to the mailbox.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it looks like about a two-month recovery now.
Ooh.
But it is what it is.
All right. Well, I got to be honest with you on that issue with the back being frozen up. I learned the hard way a couple of different ways here over the past years. And I learned that I couldn't eat and can't eat now. Well, I'm on an all carnivore diet now. I've been that way for like 2.5 months. But which is nothing but meat and animal products. But before that, I was eating a lot of spaghetti sauce, you know, with my eggs and things like that. And I'll tell you what, nightshades freeze my back up.
Yes,
I mean, it wasn't so bad 10 years ago, but in the last 5 years, it got to be terrible. Where I could eat several times, I could eat heavy spaghetti sauce, and if I ate it for more than 2 days in a row, my back would freeze up where I could hardly walk, and I didn't know what was going on at first, and then finally figured that out, and then I had a little episode where I got crippled up again, and it was right after eating watermelon, of all things, watermelon. Crippled me up real fast. Now I can't even eat a watermelon. So, got to check those things too, Michael.
Yeah. All right. Does that take care of you there, Mike? Oh, yep. Looks like we have. All right. Next up, we've got Ernest in New York. Go ahead, Ernest.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to comment a little bit. First of all, the gentleman should look into raw unfiltered apple cider vinegar. I hope he can drink that. Pour that into water and look into a book called Folk Medicine. And that book will tell you what potassium does for your blood and your liver and your stomach. Drinking it 26 years and since I read Folk Medicine. So that's what you might want to look into for that. And it's a real pain reliever because the potassium takes away the inflammation, which is what's causing the sciatica. It's nerves being, you know, sparked and fired by something, and usually it's a lack of potassium. So, excuse me, if you maybe
it's
add that
worth
to
your try.
Yeah, read
absolutely
the book Folk Medicine.
Try. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great book, Folk Medicine. Excuse me. But what you know, it sounded, everybody was sounding a little bit morose about this situation we're under, and really, you know, it's all about, you know, we started mentioning about the lawyers, they're really, you know, what they've done to our justice court system. This is what we're working on now, and we're finding the solutions are definitely right in the Constitution. But we're being ruled under what's known as foreign rule of law. It's all these lawyers and attorneys that are not United States registered copyright, trademark, or patent lawyers, which they are not certified by government authorities. And I think I shared a little bit of this last time, but it's under 7.4 of any state law, RPC, the Rules of Professional Conduct. And again, That's how you knock out the lawyers, and the canon laws is how you knock out the judges. And Mark Levin was on TV last night, and I can't believe it, but there's only three canon laws, and that's when judges misbehave. Usually there's five, but there's only three that really matter. And canon laws come from ecclesiastical law, and it's from the Bible. And those are the laws that guide and bind all judges. It should bind all judges, but it's usually only federal judges. But the canon laws keep the judges in check, and the RPC keeps the lawyers in check. So we're under foreign rule of law, and what we have to establish by just citing law is American rule of law. And to really prove that point out, there's a case that we should all hear on this group. We should undertake this lawsuit like right now. And it's pretty simple. We cut out the article. I sent it to Kent as well. I believe he might be on. And he became very interested in it, and he asked a couple of really simple, poignant questions about this issue that's now in the news. And it's how we take our country back. By people have to understand, you have to learn the 54 titles of law, and you get to pluck those laws out and apply them in a lawsuit. That's what the forefathers set up for us, because this isn't England. We're under the kings and monarchs, which are really these black-robed monarchs. Those are the judges today. They all used to be lawyers, and now they're judges. But before I talk about the sheriff issue that I'm going to talk about, I just wanted to mention that we found in Wisconsin that the court clerks can give out what's known as blank process. And that means they don't have to, the lawyer doesn't have to show the clerk any evidence, tangible material evidence of damage to get that subpoena to seize up your whatever it is they want to grab, your money. And by the way, the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code, that's how these lawyers infiltrated our banks. Lawyers, I'm looking at it right now. You can unseize your money from a bank. I just came across it. It's right here. Hang on one second. Injunctions. Here it is. It's 18 U.S.C. 1344. If any lawyer has ever seized your money, they did it under UCC law, which, again, the gentleman said earlier, it's not law. They made it up. They publish it in their little publishing, and then they claim it's law. But it's not gone through the legislature. That's constitution, law of the land. So if you look up under 18 U.S.C. 1344, bank fraud, this is what they're doing. And then if you go up to right below this, or right above this, 18 U.S.C. 1341, it's called frauds and swindles. And it's by using the mail. And those two together or how we're being screwed, and people don't realize this, that when they send you a subpoena in the mail, even if remember, if you get process served on you, that process server has to be bonded. But when they send something through the mail, it's a fraud and a swindle because they've conspired to come up with a scheme to take your money or your property. And by the way, property, when it's real property, it's called dirt, sticks, and structures. That's what property is. The other end of property is IP, intellectual property. So that being said, this is how we're being defrauded through the mail. And this goes back to what I'm going to say before the sheriff is this, that if you look up into the declaration, it says letters of marque and reprisal. If you look into Sir Walter Raleigh, you will see that a letter of marque is that the king gives Sir Walter Raleigh a letter, and he goes and he gets your ship. And he brings your ship back to the port. It's called the prize. They go get the prize. Mm-hmm. This is during the sailing age in England. And I think Sir Walter Raleigh nailed 2,297 boats in 3 years, ships.
Wow.
That's like two or three per day. And he made so much money. He ended up that the king, he got so cocky that the king, I think he beheaded him. But he was giving him 30%, and that's where we got qui tam lawsuits. I sue for the king, but I also sue for myself. We don't have kings in America, but they still have qui tam lawsuits. So the point is this, a letter of marque and reprisal means the king gives the letter. And today, it's the judge, the monarch, giving the lawyer the letter, which is the subpoena.
We do have kings in America.
Yes, we do.
Every American national is a sovereign, is a monarch, is a king under his own castle and home.
Mm-hmm.
The castle doctrine.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I hope all those kings know the King of Kings.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, that's absolute. Our country is based on the King of Kings, and everything I do is to move the kingdom forward. So that's all I ever do, the Christian kingdom forward.
Amen.
And because our country is founded on that. Thank you. So we're all brothers here, and we're all created equal. So my point is this, that in the Declaration, it says no letters of marque are granted. Well, they're doing it. These judges are giving these lawyers the letter of marque, is the subpoena to go seize our accounts. And if you've been, your account has been seized, there's the law right there that unseizes it, because UCC law is not to be recognized. It's unless it's law by the legislature, no lawyer can say, I made that up. But they're all lawyers, and there's no civilians on there at all on the UCC commission. Look that up. Look up the what is UCC commission. You'll see that they make, it says right there what they do. So that being said, the Constitution provides that there are no letters of marque. So how is Wisconsin 757.35 blank process? How is that standing? That has roiled our courts, and people don't know how they're getting screwed over, but that's how. That you have to give the clerk, you have to show the clerk and the judge material damage before you get the subpoena to go get your taxes and your records and all this other garbage, which really, all you have to do is write somebody. You have to write them a letter and inquire. And that's how lawsuits are supposed to go. But they don't. So here we are, and our courts are being roiled by this behavior, which is reckless disregard of American rule of law. And that's what I keep trying to establish to people. So now, let me present to you this very simple little synopsis that's in the news. And it goes to prove out where I come from, copyright, trademark, and patent law, okay? And if you think about it, what I just put together was rules of professional conduct is RCP, when copyright, trademark, and patent is CRP. And if you look up under 7.4, all lawyers who are not registered copyright, trademark, or patent lawyers have to put in their ads that I am not certified by any governmental authority. So look at that under your state. New York is the best, because that's the cradle of law. And please, this is also important, and I wanted to share this earlier when a gentleman said something about the Canada. If you look at the seal of New York, the flag, you will see that the royal crown, the king's crown, is under Lady Liberty's foot, and nobody knows that. And it means, it signals the lessening of the monarchy. And that's in NewYorkState.gov emblems. You can see that right up on the website. But the crown is under her foot. It's like we're crushing the crown when we got rid of England. But yet they're still here with all these esquires and lawyers. So right there in the state of New York, look at that seal and put that up so everybody can see that. We're here to crush that, because that's the king's law. It's not American law. And from New York is where all law comes from, because New York is where this whole country was founded, right here where we are in Japan. Okay? So now, to prove that we are, I know a lot of gentlemen up here about the nationals, and again, Kent knows how I feel about this, but I'm a United States individual with a birth certificate, and that gives me all rights and powers of the United States government. I can wage war. I can make credit, I can trade, I can commit any lawful activity with my birth certificate, because that's C with a circle, copyrighted, my name. And that's under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. My writings are mine, and that means my name is mine. And you can have it in capital letters and not capital, it doesn't matter. If your name is Joe Blow, that's your writings, Joe Blow. Okay? And nobody can say, like, no lawyer can pluck the name Joe Blow out of the phone book and say, you committed a crime, or no, you violated this contract law, or you can't be sued because of the copyright on your birth certificate. Nobody can say your name without you, Second Amendment, backing it up. The Second Amendment backs up the First. So now, I'm just presenting this. Your name is copyrighted. See with a circle. The circle is the Second Amendment. Your business is trademarked or service mark. That's R with TM, trademark. And then if you publish that, that becomes R with a circle, registered. That means it's grandfathered, and nobody can say your company's name. That's dilution. They can't misspell your name. That's tarnishment. And that's, there's USC 1124, 1125, I believe, says it right there. It's $1 million every time somebody does that to you. This is our genius law system to protect our good names and good business. And P with a circle is your patented tools. So now, recently it was in the news, the sheriff, wherever this happened, I believe with that woman, Fannie Willis, that attorney general, the sheriff said, and it came out, and I got the article, it says, the sheriff owns the copyright image of Donald Trump's mugshot. We could do, right there, we could do away with all, with understanding that the sheriff's may or may not be under American rule of law, but that's a reckless disregard of American standard operating procedure. Why? We should sue the sheriff just to inquire and say, where is your authority that you could even say that you own the copyright of Donald Trump's, the image of Donald Trump? So show that you own that image, show proof you own that image, and show evidence and proof that you own that image. Because you can't, under 18 U.S.C. 2725, Donald Trump's image, his Social Security, all of his records, his driving license, everything, 18 U.S.C. 2725 is highly restricted personal information. So if the sheriff said, I own that image, can he produce the handwritten letter from Donald Trump stating he owns that image?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so right. Very, very simply, and along those lines, we're going to test the law. So here's what happened by the sheriff stating that. Okay, we get him right into
GW's trying to say something. What were you trying to say, GW?
Oh no, I was just saying good stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with what you're saying.
It's very simple, and we're just testing the law. That's all we're doing. That sheriff now has made an assumption. He has made a claim, and he has made a statement. He's a sheriff. He's claiming authority. So he just made an assumption, a claim, and a statement. He now has to back it up, or he has caused damage, and he must make remedy. Because why?
He doesn't have the right.
He signed an oath,
When GW starts talking, let him speak, please.
Sorry, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to say is this is good stuff. It might be a little off topic, but, it sounds like, this would be a good situation for you to have a call every once in a while where people can come to listen and find out more about all the different things that you're researching.
I thought we were going to get a call Saturday, but I didn't receive that. But as far as off topic, all I'm saying is about these lawyers. So here's the final part of that, sir, and not to reinterrupt you, but that sheriff committed unauthorized practice of law, UPL. By him making that statement, he's making like he's a lawyer, and he's not. Therefore, he doesn't have the right to make that statement because of 18-2725. Not only that, but under 35 U.S.C. 33, he's not a copyright lawyer, a trademark lawyer, or a patent lawyer. But he made that statement. He made it public. And then he released that photo. And then he claimed that it's our mugshot. Well, that would lay claim to Donald Trump that he's their servant, and they're from England. So I think we need to bring this forward and just test the law. This is a dispute, and allow the sheriff to cure the discrepancy he has created, because he has created quite a discrepancy. It's a default. He does not have that right. If he has a signed oath, he gives away all of his rights to get that paycheck. He now has duties, obligations and responsibilities, and he just committed unauthorized practice of law, and he violated 18 U.S.C. 2725, and he also violated 18 U.S.C. 2721, the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, because what does that say? You can't misuse someone's photograph. The sheriff owes Donald Trump $2,500 because he's saying the mugshot is his image. His image and his photo is highly restricted personal information. So I ask you fellas one question. Is this a country of law or is it a country of men doing what they want? The forefathers said it's a country of law, and those 54 titles of law are ours to cite. When? Now? Where? Here? To whom? That guy. Why? Donald Trump's lawsuit is very simple. I am a man. I am aggrieved. You interfered. I want remedy. So
yeah.
So this is what's up, and I brought this story out, and I'm just saying, here it is. How can a sheriff, a foreigner, no matter what you say, how can he come over and say, we, the sheriff, even if he's a deputy, the deputy is the sheriff, we own that image of Donald Trump's mugshot. That goes right against 2725. Please look at it. It says that Donald Trump's photograph, his image, all of his info, his driver's license, all his info is highly restricted personal information, and you can't see it, share it, or view it without my express written consent. So Sheriff, where's the letter from Donald Trump saying you can say you own the mugshot? It's that simple.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope you can get...
Go ahead. I hope you can go ahead and finish what you're saying.
No, I was going to say, Ernest, I hope you can get a hold of the Trump team and maybe get a, you know, maybe you could fill somebody's ear there that can get that to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yep. If you send that to me, I do have very, very indirect access.
Well, I don't know what to say to you. If we could get a phone call, you know, it would only take a few seconds.
No, you're not going to get a phone call. You're not going to get a phone call with him. I can only get it to somebody who can get it to somebody who can get it to him.
Well, we can take our court system back and show that sheriff where, you know, the bears go in the buckwheat just by saying copyright, trademark, and patent law protects Donald Trump. Donald Trump.
Yeah. Now, were you talking about a FARA before, F-A-R-A?
Yeah, we brought that up. That's how they're nailing Hunter Biden.
Did you know the Department of Justice drops the FARA case against Flynn, his business partner?
Yes, and they restored Paul Manafort. They tried to nail him for Manafort. But see, because he's an American with a birth certificate, lawyers, I hate to say it, but once you become a lawyer and an Esquire, you give up your national origins. You now are a foreign agent for the Inns of Court of London. I'm sorry, it's right there.
Yeah.
So what we have been, look, we've been misled, and I urge everybody to always do one thing. Read the 1776 report, because what that does is it stops the distortion of our founding. You see the position we're in right now? Our founding has been distorted, and people don't know. We don't have to go back and reset and restart. No, we have to begin again right from the Constitution the minute your eyes wake up. You're a United States individual, and this country is ours.
Okay.
And what they're doing.
Ernest,
sorry,
I've got other people that have raised their hands. We need to.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
All right. And incidentally, GW, I just sent you the Dred Scott decision. I encourage you to read the first half dozen pages of it. It's awesome. It clearly lays out everything.
Yeah, I've read it many times. I'll read it again. All right.
Oh, okay. Well, I just gave you the whole thing. It's awesome.
Okay.
Go ahead, Martin.
All right. Next up, we've got Ron in Florida. Go ahead.
Yes, two things. Ernest. How do a person get a hold of the 51 rules you were talking about?
Of law. That's all you do is a word search, and you'll come up onto the government's official publishing, and the 54 titles of law. There they are. And you should go look into codified positive law. And that begins with Title 4, Section 4, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. It's a law.
Okay, thank you. Michael from Las Vegas, if you're still on, have you ever tried Ingramexin? Look it up. Check it out. I think it will do you the world of good. Personal opinion.
Ivermectin?
Yes.
Ivermectin?
Ivermectin.
Okay, yeah. They got some at the feed store up here.
Yes. Check it out.
What is that going
to do? Start out with, pardon?
I said I will. Thank you. Start out small, build up.
Yes. Half an eraser, full eraser, one week at a time. Eraser and a half, go up to two erasers, and maintain two erasers. There is a protocol, and if I can get the, are you on Telegram?
No. I'm not computer literate.
Well, if you can get someone to get help you get on Telegram, there is a channel called Dirt Road Discussions. If you can get someone to get you on Telegram and look that up, and that will give you tremendous information on ivermectin.
Dirt Road Scuggins?
Dirt Road Discussions, yes.
Discussions.
Dirt Road Discussions.
I got it. Thank you.
All right, Jennifer, Sue has a comment she'd like to make about the watermelon.
Sure.
I just wondered if it was seedless or seeded, because there is a big difference.
It was seeded.
Was it?
So, oh, yeah. You know, I'll tell you a little more. Yeah, because I love getting a hold of organic stuff that, you know, is, you know, not been manipulated. So I bought this seeded kind, and that's what shut me down almost instantly. And I used to years ago. I don't want to say many years ago, but it's been at least 3 years. I used to have a roofing business, and I did a lot of roofing in the Valley of the Sun in Arizona. And I used to eat watermelon about lunchtime. I would bring a half, you know, good-sized chunk of watermelon because it's got all the good salts and sugars and, you know, electrolytes and everything else in it, right? Well, I remember so many times being on a roof working and then eat that watermelon, and then by the end of the day thinking that I wrenched my back by doing something. I couldn't remember what it was, and then I was down for the next day. And now that I put it all together, I never wrenched my back. I was eating watermelon.
I wonder if it's the water that it grows with, or maybe they put in artificial fertilizers or something to grow them.
I have no idea, but I know for me, it's a big no-no. So that's
okay.
All I can tell you.
Great. Also on Trump Tracker, if you go to Trump Tracker and then scroll down a little bit, you'll find Contact Trump. And if you click on that, you can email him or make an appointment with him or do whatever you like, just so everyone knows.
That's cool. That'd be good. Good for Ernest.
Yeah. Trump Tracker.
Because he sounds like he's totally prepared to give that speech to somebody that could listen. So
yeah,
that's where I'd point him. I mean, thank you for giving us that expose, but that's definitely good information for you know, he probably would be, if he was so desired to do it. I mean, that'd be a great case he could open up, can of whoop ass.
Right. Anyway, that's it for me. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And does that take care of you as well, Ron?
Yes, I yield.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ron.
Now we've got Kent in West Virginia. Go ahead.
Good evening. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes, we can, Kent.
Okay. I wanted to comment on something that Ernie was saying, and if he's still on the line there. I had written to him earlier today when he sent me that information about the sheriff, and I had asked the question about a couple of U.S. Supreme Court cases. I think I have them correct, but I took them off the top of my head from a number of years ago. Davis versus Mississippi, I believe another one was Brown versus Texas, and Hayes versus Florida, wherein it was determined that a photograph is your personal property, and somebody just can't take your photograph as long as you know enough to object. I wanted to know what Ernest thought about that and if he knows anything about those cases and how that plays into what he was talking about with 18 U.S.C. 2725.
Well, that's pretty astute observation there. I've looked into those cases, and what I have to say is kind of shocking. But if 272, by the way, yes, it applies, and here's why. You're absolutely right, and when you say your photo is your image is yours, because that's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. My writing is mine. Your name, like Donald Trump's name, is attached to that photo. My name's attached to my driving photo. Yours is on your photo. Any photo, that's your highly restricted personal information. So it can be used, but it can't be used without your permission. So think about all those, like these gossip magazines that are out there, and all these guys that are running up and taking people's pictures saying, you're a public, you know, you're Heather Locklear, or you're some, you know, you're Kevin Sorbo, you're some big star. I can take your picture and put it in this magazine and put some lewd caption there. Well, guess what? Do you understand the lawsuit that they're ready to be, that could be served to them? Because that's a federal law. And again, it's what I ask everybody. The forefathers made this country into a country of law, and that's the 54 titles of law. That's what protects us as American, and because nobody knows that, then we don't have it. If you don't know your rights, you don't have rights. If you don't know your law, you don't have it. That's the problem. So your photograph is yours, and nobody can take it. And think about all the videos that are up on YouTube that can't be there. They cannot lawfully be there. And people can get it off immediately by asking for what? You write the letter and you demand guaranteed return of proof of control, which is your signature. If that's you, if that's a picture of you, then there's a signature attached to you. And you can demand return of that because they got it unlawfully. They just walked up, took your picture, and now you're some clown on YouTube over and over, millions of hits. Well, they're all illegal. If the law is the law, and if this is a country of law, that's all I'm saying. But guess what? Nobody knows that.
Okay, so you would then say that even if Donald Trump didn't fight them in taking the picture or tell them that, no, you can't take my mugshot, you would still say that this copyright law applies, and that's his photograph or his image, and therefore it doesn't matter whether he objected or not. It's just the sheriff has stepped in and said, well, that was my camera that took that image, so therefore that image belongs to me, and therefore I can do whatever I want with it.
Well, the image of a tree could be his, but the image of, like, a fountain could be his, but not the image of a person, Donald, a United States individual with a birth certificate, Donald Trump with a name. So,
okay, so then it's safe, you said you looked into those cases, it's safe to say, for example, I won't repeat them all, but Davis versus Mississippi is really backing up, or 18 U.S.C. 2725 is backing up Davis versus Mississippi, and they all basically say the same thing.
Exactly. So why does this keep going on? It keeps going on. Now they just did it to Trump. But I wanted to say one thing to that, and Donald Trump is right. They're not really after him. They're after us. We're the ones who are suffering under this. What is it? It's constitutional perversion. They perverted the Constitution. It's un-American, it's anti-American, and it's abuse of discretion of their office. So they've made a mockery of our justice court system, and they're all doing it. And this is what gets me. Nobody knows how to grab this, but if there's an American, here's the thing, under the American flag law, there was probably a flag in the room wherever Donald Trump went, or even with Rudy Giuliani. All you have to do is cite the Pledge of Allegiance under Title IV, Section 4, and say, we all agree that the word says republic, not democracy. So that's how you get your standing there in the court. Donald Trump, whether they don't have permission to take the photo because he never committed a wrong to begin with for him to be there. So there's the Brady violation. There's no tangible material evidence to get Donald Trump down in there. Where's the proof? So that AG, Attorney General, committed a Brady violation, and Donald Trump signed the order in 2020 for judges to remedy and prevent Brady violations. All of this it's like a big joke, but everybody's going along with it. I don't get it. So your photo is yours, and I can take it and say hi. If you're saying hi, you're posing for a picture, that's okay. If that's a mugshot, that sheriff does not have the legal right to say, we own the copyright of that mugshot. No, you don't. If you think you do, prove you do. And that should be the lawsuit against those sheriffs, and it'll knock all of these sheriffs right back where they need to be, right on their keisters.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good, folks.
All right. Any other questions, Star 2? Raise your hand.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Take it home, Martin. Tell us about next week and go from there.
All right. Join us again tomorrow night. Same time, same place. We'll be having our normal Tuesday night call with Brother John, litigation, point of spear. Then I'll be back again Wednesday with Eric Slevin with LLCs. Until next time, everyone have a rest of your evening. And
the conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.